The payroll costs are a total $1.59 million. They are projected for 2012 at $1.679 million, so it's about a $90,000 cut. In FY 2011, KPFK had personnel costs of $1.563 million, so they are above where they were in 2012, below. So they are above where they were in 2011 by a bit, and below where they were in 2012. Let's see. As mentioned, I added 10,000 in sort of miscellaneous capital. It's in the leasehold improvement category. It doesn't have to be there. It was just basically $10,000 in things breaking. Among the adjustments in payroll were the pension expense thing that LaVarn had mentioned, which was dropped. I did lower the LSB collection expenses a bit from $40,000 to $32,000 because it seemed to me that a little too much was put in this fiscal year based on when ballots usually mail. So there's a slight savings there. We're going to move the phone back up to $98,000. Okay, we have to do that.
Okay. Or you can put it at 96, okay? I'll compromise at 96,000.
Deal. That sounds fine. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like I mean, the only thing to really fight about there is whether Bernard's I'm going to save money on the telephone thing is convincing. And it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll have to adjust the insurance up to.
And I think that will likely go up, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so depreciation was put in. I did make a couple of trims on repairs and maintenance because it seemed to me that KBFK was allocating an enormous amount of money for it. But you have heard that they seem to spend the money that's allocated, so maybe that needs to go back up. There wasn't anything substantial in programming except that we got rid of the non-operating grant expenses. Since we weren't registering that income, we didn't register that deficit.
Right.
And I made some proportional reductions in premiums that matched the reductions in the listener support. I wasn't quite sure how to do it, so I did it mostly on the basis of the same percentage applied up and down. And according to Kim, she thinks that the premium expenses will end up being higher. So we need to kind of look at that. That's really about it. I'm a little bit inclined to think that if $19,000 in special events only raises $25,000 in income, it's almost like, why bother?
Well, that's the point, Tracy. That's what's going on.
You don't think there's any scenario where the figure of like 50 or 60,000 could be reached? I mean, it doesn't seem like we're really.
We'd be lucky if we don't lose money again. We lose money. This is what we do.
And you're not seeing any scenario where that's going to improve any. No. That's the answer to that.
Right.
Okay, well, then that may be an item that has to go. So I think with that, I'm going to shut up. You guys have the spreadsheet in front of you.
This is Ken. I would like to make a comment.
And maybe we can make our way to a motion fairly soon and deal with some of these pressing issues. If we do take an additional, you know, 60K out of revenue, we're going to have to deal with that somehow.
Well, can you hear me, Tracy?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Tracy,
I heard Ken, and then I heard Ken. Go ahead, sorry.
I just wanted to make sure you did put in the $50,000 back for depreciation.
I did.
Okay. Other than that, I really, I hope we're on the stream. I want to acknowledge the extensive work done by the treasurer of PNB and the treasurer of KPFK. having to do this budget because some reason it's beyond the scope, capabilities, and comprehension of the GM and the business manager to come up with a balanced budget on realistic estimates. You'd think they'd have an idea working there all year. So I'm saying that's my opinion. I just want to make it public. And I also want to protest maintaining the increased fund drive days at 91. But it's a Democratic organization, so if we all agree to leave it there, we'll leave it there. Other than that, I concur with everything that's been said so far.
LaBarne, on the spec, please.
Okay. I think Bill was next, so let's go to Bill and then to LaBarne.
Okay, thank you. A few minor points. Local travel, I would be reluctant to reduce it this year because just the fact of installing the new transmitter is probably going to generate extra travel, maybe quite a bit for a short period of time. So I can see maybe it getting reduced in following years with a new transmitter, but I'd be reluctant to reduce it this year. And also on the repairs and maintenance, that's the kind of thing, if you're not sure about it, that's the other reason why it helps to have a contingency, a plan for a surplus, so that if any one thing like that goes over budget, you've got the cash. And apparently that has not happened in the past, and that's probably why essential services haven't been paid, and, we have trouble sometimes reaching payroll and things like that. So I think it's more important that we have a little bit of surplus budget for that. And also related to that is I think we need to recover the deficit that from FY12. According to the projections here, it was 46,000 before capital expenses and 151,000 after capital expenses. And that money just doesn't go away. That deficit doesn't go away with the next year. It accumulates. And that's the really biggest problem we've been having Pacifica-wide over the last 5 years. So
yeah.
I suggest we try to do that. And then one other thing on special events. It sounds like you spend way too much. You have too much fixed costs. I think you should be looking for free or low-cost venues, work out a deal with that's what KPFT does. We work out deals with local venues, let them sell drinks or whatever so they can make some money, and then we have the space for free. Almost all of our events are like that. That's just one example. And, if you can reduce the fixed cost, then you can make some money still. But with those fixed costs, it really increases the risk if, something happens and people don't come. So, but I wouldn't mind just cutting them out if you're worried about making any profit at all on them. And they take staff time, too. That's another concern that, maybe the staff could be put better to use doing development or something else.
Okay. I think LaBarne was next on the staff.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see. Okay. Just looking at, I had a chance with all my other little tasks today to look at the revenue and look at the fulfillment for KPFK fund drives. And what I did was I pulled up Terry Guy does his excellent reports where he shows over the life of a drive what the fulfillment is. And but the latest report I have goes through February. So, therefore, when I looked at the budget for 2013 and it showed the fulfillment rate on these drives, what they actually put in the budget, just to confirm the numbers, like for the first drive in October, they show a fulfillment rate of 80%, which is about a 12-month period, and is basically what they have done over the past in terms of the maximum fulfillment. For the next drive in December, they show a fulfillment rate of about almost 78%. So, that's acceptable range. And the February drive shows at about 76%. And the April, 75%. Mm-hmm. The May, 75%. However, the August drive, it's at 71%. So that is just too high. They're not. I don't believe that they'll achieve that fulfillment for the last 2 months of the fiscal year. So I would actually take that down to about 63%, which is based on a 2-month fulfillment on a drive that they had in February of this year, of this fiscal year. So that would actually take out about $47,000 out of their listener support. So Trace had actually taken it down, I think you said 60. So that's you know, a little 13, a little more than what is, you know, just based on the numbers, the exact numbers. So that's about fine. And the other numbers, the May drive at 75%, you know, it's optimistic. But on the other side, K5K has really good credit card fulfillment. So that's good. So that listener support revenue, if you accept the number of drive days, but if you look at the fulfillment rate, that we definitely need to take that $50,000 in listener
support revenue. Well, good. I wasn't using the fulfillment rate exactly criteria, but that's great that we looked at it and came up with such close numbers. That's kind of awesome.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we can justify it. It's correct. And so another point that Bill had made about when you were looking at the 151 loss, you can't really look at the $151,000 as a loss in 2012 because the funds for the generator were actually the cash from the prior year. So that was actually cash on hand. So I wouldn't count that as a loss for 2012, as the deficit for 2012. But because, again, that was cash brought over from the prior year, so that was already on the balance sheet. So, I'm still concerned that we still have to, you know, put in the numbers. Anthony actually was at home today, so he's working on the numbers on the payroll amount. So he has those numbers for the 403B contributions, and he's putting that in, so he'll run that through. So if we can get all of these changes to him, and if the board, if the committee agrees to it, and then they can go in, put the numbers in, and create the budget. So that would be good.
Okay. That sounds good. Let's take any further general comments that there are, and then I think I'm going to highlight the places where, at least to my understanding, Kim and I aren't in complete agreement. And then maybe the committee will have some strong feelings one way or the other that will kind of, or at least places where I'm not quite sure that I totally agree with what she's saying. On the other hand, she may have more local knowledge and I might be totally wrong and we just sort of need to sort those things out. Are there any more general comments?
I have a question.
Okay. Anybody else?
Jim.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to Jim, then we'll go to Kim.
My question is real general and is kind of directed to Kim, I think. If you were to try to isolate the problem that the stations had, are they not making enough money or are they spending too much?
Well, obviously it's both. You know, making more money. Yeah, I think that there's room for tightening up, you know, on expenses. You know, obviously, you know, if you read between the lines, I think all of our community event stuff is a complete waste of time, and, you know, we'd lose money on it. And there are paid employees who could be doing other things, or we could be having a transmitter. And this should have been dealt with this previous year, and now we have a transmitter and be getting new listeners instead of losing them because we're running too many fun drive days. So, yeah, my opinion is if they're going to have the kind of programming that some people are happy with, then you have to cut expenses. If you want to keep these expenses, then you have to figure out different programming that's going to bring in more listeners. And, you know, I've made suggestions, and it's up to management to figure out which one they want to do. But they haven't done the latter, so they're going to have to do the former.
Okay, now you said you had a question, Kim, moving away from Jim's question.
When Anthony figures out the personnel costs, do you expect them to be higher?
It'll be lower because we actually have the numbers for the AFTRA employees. We've been doing this exercise with the union for the past all year. So we know what the amounts that they are actually contributing. So it will be lower.
Because
if you just look at the run rate, you see that it's higher than the budget is higher than what the run rate has been for this year.
That's fine. So, there won't be any surprises like we misjudged and, another, $30,000 added. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, was that your question, Kim?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. Are there any more general comments before we get to, I guess, points of discrepancy?
We will call it.
Okay. Into points of discrepancy. Let's see what we got here. Okay. So line 5011 on the revenue side is the first.
What line? What actually line?
Oh, line 6.
Line 6.
Account 5011, website income.
Right.
My understanding is that this is supposed to be some small amounts of website income that dribble in apart from fund drives. I don't know what the accuracy of these numbers are. It's a small number, 21,574 or 21,164. What could be done is if we're not debating the amount of the income, but just the weird classification is it could be rolled into listener support or it could just be eliminated. But if it's eliminated, it's at the price of a $21,000 reduction in the surplus. I'm kind of agnostic on it. It doesn't seem to me like it's an accurate recording of all of the non-fund drive website income necessarily. So I'm not quite sure what to do with it, but Kim thinks we should eradicate it. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, LaVarne. Yeah. Different stations are able to capture the information. Now, I was trying to find a report from Ali Lexa because I've seen reports where he actually report the website income. So what he does, what that would take is that to put in the business manager's process or policies and procedures, PMPs, to capture that and to show that as website income versus listener support. And then when we get into the whole issue of central services, how do you count that? And you would count that still as listener support. So it's just a matter of looking at the systems and which one of the systems in the stations accurately capture website income. And I think there was a point about being separate from drive income. See, that's too difficult to tell on a monthly basis. So I guess the project is that we should – KPFK actually is capturing the information. So what it would do is that we could issue it as it is in the budget, and this can be our little project that we will ensure the accuracy of the website income off the systems that we have. And to actually show that. So,
Well, I think for the purposes of the NFC, though, we have to settle on a revenue number. So the question that I guess I would have is, would people be comfortable, because we don't apparently have an accurate accounting of what's website income and what's not website income, with rolling that $21,000 just into listener support? And if LaVarne is able to get some kind of accurate website income differentiation, she can redivide that number up. But I think that we need to know what the final number is. Or do people feel like they're not willing to go above $3 million on listener support, period, and got to stop here and just make it go away? Because my guess is it represents something, but I don't think it actually represents website income. Because if you look at these numbers, they kind of don't add up. I mean, you're in Fund Drive in certain months for much of the month, and then you're not in Fund Drive, and you have more income and less income. I mean, it doesn't really relate to anything real as far as I can see. So I'm inclined to think it's just random listener support kind of rolling around in the category. But the option would be to roll it up into account 5,000 or to get rid of it.
Kim to the stack.
Okay. Go ahead.
I and Summer before me have requested of Anthony for over 2 years now to please put in website income into this line. Every time he says, yes, I'll do it, to date, it has not been done. The other day, last week, when I met with him and Bernard, after the LSB did not approve the budget to see if, you know, we could work something out, he explained to me why he couldn't do it. So I cannot remember that explanation, but it is something he cannot do. He just, for whatever technical reason, he does not want to do it, cannot do it. I don't know. This is a made-up number. It's just, you know, like we have an extra $20,000. And I'm not, you know, inclined to support that kind of...
Okay, Kim. I got it. I want to hear from the rest of the committee. Take it out. Don't take it out.
Rest of the committee?
Point of information. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the line.
Sorry to interrupt. But is John Amello, will he be required to be on the call today, tonight?
He will. He will be required to be on the call fairly shortly. We should be resolving this fairly soon, within 5 to 10 minutes, and then we will want him on the call. I told him around 7, it may be 7:05. But if we can get through this fairly quickly, yes. What does the rest of the committee want to do about the website income? Hello?
Farpal.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, if it's really, is it really, really, really a just a number that somebody threw in? Because if it's that, if it really is that, and that's not hyperbole, if it really is that, then, yeah, take it out entirely. Because otherwise, you know, you're gonna say, oh, we have this income that should come in, but it's not real. If, however, you know, I mean, maybe there's a compromise that can be done on this. Maybe, you know, how big a fantasy might it be? Is it 50% a fantasy? Is it 35%? You know, we need to know a little more. The idea of it being a fantasy, I understand, but how big a fantasy is it? If it's 100%, throw it out. If it's 50%, cut it in half. Something like this. That's my thought.
This is Ken.
Ken.
Throw it out. We've already seen other errors in there, like trying to eliminate the depreciation.
Okay.
Some mathematical errors. It's just fictitious. All the money's rolled up.
Okay. Anybody else want to argue strongly to leave it in? If they don't, I'm going to get rid of it. It's gone. Okay. Last item in revenue is community events. We're working with around $60,000. That was the number that Bernard provided. Nominally in 2011, there was $31,000 in that income. In 2012, they're projecting a gross of $60,000, but it cost $115,000 to get that $60,000. And this year, we are projecting only spending somewhere between $15,000 and $19,000 to get $60,000. I wanted to be optimistic that the special events could be straightened out. I think Kim has a valid point that the track record is not good. Off the top of my head, I think if you went down maybe to the 2011 figures in the $30,000 to $35,000 range, you might be a little closer to reality. But you are going to then, you know, have more income you have to deal, you know, more loss of income that you have to deal with. Or we can accept the GM sort of optimistic, we're fixing it and we're going to do better this year and let them try to double their previous results. Thoughts?
Kim to the stack, unless, you know.
Okay,
else.
Kim?
Well, part of the problem became apparent to me last night that, for example, you know, Bernard said, well, we made $11,000 at the Chris Hedges. And I'm saying that only, and I don't have the exact amount, whether it was $1,500 or $2,000, actually comes into community events. So he apparently he doesn't look at this stuff that closely. So he's thinking, oh, we made $11,000, we'll keep doing that. But no, the events are different than the fund drives. So these.
So in other words, most of the money that you made was tickets, and it's rolled up in listener support.
Yeah,
not
it all
separated out in the community events category, right?
That's with the book, and you know, we'll give you a book, and then we have a flash drive with all of Chris Hedges' speeches he's ever made in his life, giving tons of stuff go with those tickets for the fund drive.
Okay. Does anybody want to argue for not cutting this to, I don't know, $35,000?
This is Ken.
Yes, Ken?
I don't think we should cut it to 30. I think we should cut it to 20 or 25. Another issue was honorariums. I think everybody's entitled to honorariums, but it's like you have to acknowledge expenses. You can't just hypothecate income at no cost. And again, we're not considering. I don't know, because we never get an accounting, what the cost for the staff is, paid staff. I don't know if they're paid overtime. I just have no idea. Or what transport or cabs and so forth. So the only time we did get that was on a major event that didn't work well. We saw things about transport and security and other ancillary costs. So I don't think 30. I think 20, 25.
I mean, I don't really see anything has changed or fixed, Tracy, unfortunately. And, you know, Bill's suggestion is really good, but nobody's really takes suggestions well there.
I know. I'm just saying, if you're going to spend 15 or 20 and only make 20 or 25, I don't know why you're bothering. But
well,
okay.
I would like to speak to that. This is Ken. There are other benefits besides income to doing public events. You can solicit membership. You raise your the awareness, your branding in the community, because we are present at events that is our current target audience. So if the name is spread around and a few yays and applause, it does assist to some degree. And it also potentially can raise listenership if the event is centered around a host.
Okay. All right. Let's go down. Does anyone want to speak strongly for making this different than $25,000?
It's Bill.
Bill, go ahead.
You know, if you're going to do that, you might as well cut it out completely, because on the expense line item, which is down near the bottom, it's only $19,000, line 150. So, assuming there's some staff time involved, you're losing money. There's still a huge cut from in the expense part from FY12. So I'm inclined to leave something reasonable in there. But yeah, they should try to minimize expenses. But I go along with what Ken and Kim feel what they're comfortable with. I mean, it's their station. They know what's possible there.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave the 25 in, and I think we're going to make a parallel cut to the expenses because, you know.
But that's about what the proportions are. But, you know, yeah, leave it. Put it down to 15,000. Put it down to 15,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, then you have to spend less if that's all you're making.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's try to get through this quickly. The insurance expense adjustment we're making. That seems to be factual. Okay. Well, I mean, that takes us to repairs and maintenance, $66.50. It was budgeted at $60,000. I made a trim to $54,000, which was just $500 a month off. Because it seemed to me you had such generous allocations for computer supplies and ink and computer maintenance that this was sort of a bit much. However, I'm being told that you spend that much and more. So, again, we can put it up, but we're going to get into more surplus. You know, we're going to get into back into deficit more. So if you want to reset it up, do you want to reset it to $70,000? You don't think there's any economies of scale there at all?
I don't see, you know, that they're doing. Oh, so you put it down to that number? I don't remember what the original number was.
It was at 60,000. I dropped
60.
It by 500.
Oh, no. I thought 60 was low. You know,
I think it's crazy myself, but okay.
Well, you know, this is not, you know, if I were manager, I would probably be doing things differently, but I'm not. This is what these costs are because people have different styles of management. So this is
what number are you suggesting?
He has 70 in there for this year. What did he have in 60?
He had 60.
Okay, fine. Leave 60 there, and we'll just be running over budget, you know, at some point.
Which line item is this?
Concerns and maintenance, 6650. It's line 96.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I think there's only one.
I'll leave it at 60, but what his original number.
Okay, there's only one more community event, so I think if we're only generating $25,000 in income, we shouldn't be spending, Kim was saying 15. I'd be inclined to go 10, because
Crazy,
spend more than that.
No, this is not our problem. Our problem is to read the numbers from previous years and what we've made and put it in. If they don't like those numbers, then they can figure it out, you know. I don't like those numbers. It's for them to figure it out how to do better.
So you're saying 15?
Yes.
Kind of nuts, but okay. It's better than 115. Okay, so let's see where that gets us, having made all these changes, and then we're pretty much going to have to stop. Okay. I am happy to report that we now have a...
You know what? Fine. I'll put it down to 12. I'll put it down to...
It's okay, Kim. It's okay, Kim.
No. I will. I'll put it down to 12. That's fine. You know, that's fine. That's, you know, well, fine. We'll put it down to 12.
Okay. Let me go down and do that.
It will be an incentive.
Maybe. We can only hope. All right. So where are we? We are at. Well, miraculously, we still have a surplus. It's not huge. It's $80,785. When we put in $84,000 of capital, we end up with $3,215 in deficit. We can leave it that way, or we can say bigger surplus.
Wait, we're in deficit?
After capital, $3,200.
No, that's not good.
Well, that's what happens when you take money out of revenue.
This is Bill.
So suggestions, and if we can't deal with this by 7:15, then we've got a problem, but hopefully we can. Yes, Bill.
Well, maybe Lamar can correct me, but, you know, for capital equipment, it's really not fair to count the whole thing as an expense in the year you buy it. It's why you depreciate it. You spread out the expense over, like, 10 years or something for a transmitter. But you have to have the cash. You have to have the cash flow to pay for it, of course. So in that case, it may be okay to have a deficit after capital, but you still have to make sure you have the cash, you know, to cover it. And you still have that deficit from FY12 before capital expenses of $46,000. So I think we still need to make that up.
Yeah, this is LaVarne. Absolutely. There's a tab in there for the cash flow, so you need to look at that. So when we make these changes, you have to flow. Well, actually, the cash flow comes first. So we have to flow those numbers through there and see what the cash is. But you're absolutely right, and Bernard made that point, too, is that, and I was making the point earlier, it's not, as long as the cash flow tab has the cash in there to take care of the capital, then we're fine. And no, you don't deduct that. When you start looking at your profit loss, you're looking at it before we add in. That cash thing, capital thing, is kind of a fluke, and I've allowed it to flow and to continue on there in order to just to keep you focused.
Okay. Let me
finish the point that Bill brought up.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No. you don't get this. Look at the cash tab. There's a cash flow. If there's cash at the end of the year, and then you look at the capital, and the cash flow includes the capital. So if there's still a cash reserve in a range of 100 to 200 at the end of the year, then that's what the target is. But it shouldn't be below 100. And just look at the next tab and see if it's there.
Bill for the stack again.
Okay, Bill.
Yeah, again, looking at the cash flow, and that's a good point, Lavorne. It still seems like they're dangerously close to running a negative cash flow because, like, at the end of the year, they're projecting $235,000 in cash at the end of the month. And several other months, they're less than $300,000. $300,000 is just about a month's worth of operating expenses. And, you know, I think they should be trying to, all of our stations should be trying to have a little more reserve than that. So it's kind of scary. You know, they get something else major that breaks and they have to come up with some more money than or any other expense. It's hard to know how to pay for it.
You're absolutely right.
Okay. I kind of want to wrap this up. I'm glad that we're at the numbers. We've got a small deficit after capital. While we may be able to live with that, I'm kind of observing what Bill is saying, that in a station that's already showing a paper deficit, that may be a little more than is a good idea. And we don't want to get into a position where the expenses are high enough that the transmitter purchase has to get postponed because the cash kind of collapses. So, I mean, there's one possible scenario, which is to give the benefit of the doubt that the website income is actually some kind of real income.
No.
Okay, I sort of was going on the it's miscategorized theory rather than it's imaginary. But
I tried this thing last year, and it went out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not in there. They're not recording it. We asked Anthony,
okay.
You know, if you want website income put in there, and we'll do it next year. So it's still not there.
Okay. Well, I'm not seeing any more expenses to cut. I'm not seeing a whole lot more revenue to generate. I don't see any reason that we can optimistically do anything on the major donor fronts or the community events. So basically, we either live with this budget as it is, and present it with a small post-capital deficit, which we have not been permitting the other stations to do.
Oh, then what?
Or we cut a little more from probably the only line item that's left, which is the salaries and personnel. So I'll take a suggestion about how much to do that if someone wants to suggest.
Bill?
I have cut $95,000, I think. So the question would be, you know, does that amount change, and if so, by how much? Yes, Bill.
This is just a little bit more cut, but I suggest you cut all the personnel line items to no more than what's in FY 2011.
Okay, which is
so
1.5, which is 1.575. So that's about 15. Okay.
Well. The FY 2011 audited total personnel cost is 1563, right?
1563, and we're at 1590.
So
62. Okay, so 80, 70, 60. So it's another 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Any strong objections to doing that? That would bring us to about a $25,000, $27,000 surplus after capital, which is about where we were. Going once, going twice. Okay.
What? Say that again. I'm sorry. Say that again, Tracy. I'm sorry.
Bill's suggestion to deal with the deficit that we are showing after capital is
right.
To lower the salaries and personnel total to the 2011 audited amount, which is 15, which is $1.563 million from the $1.59 million. that we're working with. That's about a $27,000, $28,000decline. And if we put that in, we will have about a $25,000 surplus after capital. So that's the recommendation. If there's no objection, I think, and that's about where the original budget draft was at in terms of a surplus. If there's no objection, I think we will make a motion out of that. Eventually. So are there any objections to that plan? Guys, you're so quiet. Is anybody left on the call?
I'm here. No, I'm here. You asked for objections, you know.
Okay.
This is okay. Kim. I'll support it. You know, I'll support it.
Okay.
These expenses,
okay.
These personnel expenses went up despite a hiring freeze. You know, management
okay.
may have hired people thinking, oh, we'll make so much more money because of them. That hasn't
okay.
worked out for them. So, you know.
So this is what we'll do procedurally, and then I want to close this item up. We have on paper, and I will send you all a copy exactly what we have agreed to here, and we will go through some kind of a straw poll vote. However, it does need to be written down line item by line item what the changes are from what was submitted to the NFC. So I will have to sit down and do that, which I can do. And then I will bring a motion that says reduce line blankety blank to blankety blank and so on. And then we will formally vote it through at the next meeting. But it will be exactly the parameters of what we've discussed tonight, and I will send you all a spreadsheet so it's clear what the numbers will be. Does that work for everybody?
Sounds good.
Good.
Okay, and I'm just going to do it one more time and just say, are there any objections? Does anyone want to lodge a protest for the record? Are we all in agreement on this? Okay. The end. I assume we'll formally ratify it on the 18th, which is okay because we're not going to get to the K budget at this PNB meeting, and the next one is on the 20th. So I don't see any reason why it would be problematic as long as we know what the numbers are. Okay. The end. That brings us to WPFW. John Almella, did you call or do I have to harass you? Okay.
Tracy?
Yeah?
Hi, it's John Hughes. I'm on the call.
Oh, you made it. Wonderful. I'm so glad. We were just about to get to you, so that's perfect. Okay. Did you bring anybody with you or just you?
Unfortunately, it's just me.
That's okay. That's okay. We will ask you a couple of questions, and then since I know it's late on the East Coast, we will try to ask you the questions that we have.
I would ask that if at all possible, we can raise John Almella because I think
mm-hmm.
he is
yep.
he is central to this to a very important question on the
yes.
On
I
the
totally agree,
list.
And I have him open on a chat box. So I will now go. Oh, he hung up on me. Oh, John.
I'll call him if you want.
If you would.
Okay.
He said he would come on. He's probably just feeling impatient with us.
Great.
No, he's available.
Frankly.
And sorry for just jumping on.
No, we're happy, you know, it all worked out. I guess there was a little, maybe miscommunications, I don't know. But I'm glad you're here so we can deal with you directly.
Me too.
John will join us. John Almella, that is.
Wonderful. So what I'm thinking, just in terms of process, so we get as far as we can get tonight, is let's go ahead and open up the 2013 WPFW budget that was sent at 5:19 p.m. by the CFO.
Can I just add that the CFO sent that on August the 28th, this exact same thing that you received?
Yeah, I understand. The most recent copy of is what
okay.
I meant to say.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, and I think maybe the best thing might be, since we have John here, and we will have the other John here in a moment.
I'm here.
I think maybe we'll go through our Paul's list of questions in order. John, you'll be here for the questions that mostly regard the moving of WPFW. To the extent possible, we'll talk in semi-general terms about numbers and not so much about specifics like addresses and so on, because we are on the stream. And so we're really interested in the details in as much as they affect the budgetary numbers that we should be looking at. So maybe we could just go through our Paul 12 questions. Hopefully we can do that in about 30 minutes, and then we should be able to look at this budget in a clearer way. So, Paul, do you want to sort of, you know, ask the questions one by one, get whatever answers we can get from the GM or from John, and
okay.
Then maybe at the end of the list we'll do follow-up questions.
Okay, so it'll be a question and then it's open. Okay.
Yeah.
Pardon me. All right, first question is, how will the $200,000 capital campaign fund be used to facilitate the move?
The $200,000 will fundamentally be dedicated to equipping the new facility. The intent, as I described in our last communication, our last conversation, our determination is to move to a facility where we will have to do a limited amount of bricks and mortar build out. And without getting into specifics, we do have a destination now in sight that will provide for us an opportunity to essentially plug and play. And John can speak to some of the specifics as it relates to equipping this facility. But it's been our determination from the very beginning to find a facility that we wouldn't have to build walls, build the physical layout out that would correspond to a radio broadcast facility, that we could effectively come in and lay in equipment that will allow us to hit the ground running in this new facility. So John has had a chance to survey the location that we are intent on negotiating an opportunity for. And John, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. We have four soundproofed rooms. We're going to build out four control rooms and one room that can be used for let's say a round table or a talk show or whatever that has more than two microphones in it, two guests, whatever you want to call it. So each control room will have two mics, and the other room will have four to five mics. The three control rooms will be pretty much identical, so we can use whichever to control that acoustic room. Does that answer your question?
Right now, we occupy a tick over 6,000 square foot of space. I would submit that somewhere close to 1,000 square foot of that is consigned to our broadcast operation. The facility that we're looking at is close to that square footage. And what John described by way of the four studios, that's effectively replicates the studio layout that we currently enjoy. And so if we're successful in our negotiations for this space, we'll end up building out the equivalent of what we currently have now. And we'll do it under budget, which means under $200,000. And what will allow us to get to this budget and or financial benchmark and or opportunity is the fact that this facility is built as a radio facility, radio broadcast facility.
Right.
The rooms are soundproof. They're fundamentally broadcast studios. There is a standing tech center that would accommodate our technical and IT infrastructure. There is a provision for satellite installment on the roof of this facility. The conduits are already in place for us to be able to run cable. There is in existence a backup generator. There is a separate
UPS.
Yes, a separate UPS and HVAC system that is dedicated just to this facility. And so when I'm, as we're describing plug and play, we are really looking at, folks, an opportunity to lay in less than $200,000 worth of equipment to make us immediately functional and get us on the air in time and or by deadline of this year.
Without any downtime between the two studios.
Right, and that is the corresponding to the next question. If I may, how is the move projected to impact on on-air fundraising? Well, it's not. As a matter of fact, I'm especially hopeful that we'll be able to leverage our move to the new facility as an opportunity for making an appeal to our community that we've found a new home. We're moving to the new home. We've moved to the new home. Come join us for a housewarming, if you will, and/or correspondingly make an appeal to our communities to provide additional support to outfit, upgrade, fortify, improve the condition of our of this facility.
Mm-hmm. All right, Paul, did you have further questions?
Okay. I guess number two has been answered right there. Number three is, how are the lines for website income, car donations, and major donors justified?
Well, simply, our justification.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Hello.
Just one thing. If there are other questions on the list relating to the move, and I think there's one or two, maybe you could skip to those, Art Paul, because that's the part John is here for, and we can let him go once we've answered those, and then we can get on to the general income questions.
Okay. Let's go down the.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Move per se. Well, I guess this is sort of move per se. Well, I'll ask it. You'll tell me. How much is being projected for the overlap in rent expenses when WPFW is paying for two locations?
Well, at its most extreme, it would have to be 2 or 2.5 months. it could very well drill down to hopefully 1 month of overlap.
Okay. I guess this is the new lease expected to be higher than the old amount? If so, by how much?
It's please be mindful that we have not started the formal negotiation, but by way of the preliminary proposal, we're looking now at an increase of somewhere around $2,000 a month, and that could be cut to what we're paying now. That obviously we're coming back to negotiate the best deal that we can. But right now, if it were in, I would say, in the worst case scenario, we might be looking at somewhere between $1,500 to $2,000 a month increase. And as I described the last time we were together, one thing to be mindful is that we're moving into a facility that, as I've been describing, is not a blank canvas. It's a sitting facility that does encase much of the infrastructure that is required for a broadcast facility. So what's embedded in the cost of our rent is real radio broadcast platform infrastructure.
All right. Looking through the list, I think that's the actual move per se ones, unless somebody else is finding something else that's really move per se.
And let me intersperse to say, John, before you go, I'm just going to ask if anyone has any questions about anything that you've said or anything they specifically think involves John in terms of the financial implications of the technical aspects of the move. Now is the time to ask him. This is John Calmella.
Yes, this is John Hughes. I was just going to add one quick point related to John that I think is important for the committee to understand, that the cost of the build-out includes and or is supported and, frankly, is lessened by virtue of the fact that we'll be using our Pacifica staff engineering resource.
Right. We're going to probably use Steve Brightwell as the coordinating engineer, and Otis McClay and myself will be helping out on site. So we will be the team that builds out these new studios, so we can do it fairly cheaply.
That said, does anyone have any questions about the technical aspects of the move specifically that would be in John Almella's bailiwick, or can we say goodnight to him?
What's Bill?
Question?
Okay. Bill is on the stack. Go ahead. Okay.
First, I'm really glad to hear that Steve and John and Otis will be working on this. I think that really helps a lot. They really know what they're doing, and if anything, any people can save us some money, they can do it. I'm wondering about the timing and how much, you know, lead time you need to get ready. I'm not sure about equipment purchases or things like that. Obviously, you're still in negotiations with the landlord. So assuming you can wrap that up soon, how will this work? And I guess we'll still have to keep paying through the current lease through the end of the year. Is that right?
That's right.
Even if you could sign on the dotted line next week. And
Bill, unless we got out, and this would obviously be a pretty major miracle unless we get out by the end of November. We're working on a month-to-month.
Okay. So you have flexibility there. So
we
can work things out with a new place.
Yes.
As soon as you could get it ready. And then the other question we're beginning with,
and
how long we've done, and everybody need to, you know, order equipment and things like that.
Right. And, yes. And certainly part of the negotiation with the new space is to get as much forgiveness and or flexibility and consideration with respect to moving in.
Yep.
And they are, I would submit, very motivated to have us as a tenant. And so I'm hopeful that that motivation will translate into some rent forgiveness.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to be overly optimistic, but just to give you a sense of what our tactics and or strategy is for approaching these negotiations.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to throw everything we can on the wall to reduce expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the time it takes to get whatever equipment you need, could that possibly be a problem? I don't know.
We can't order equipment until we have a lease. Once we have a lease agreement, then we will start ordering. The first thing we will do is we will go to Steve and I will go to WPFW and evaluate and inventory what equipment is suitable to be used at the new equipment at the new location. That will not include the consoles because they really need. PFW definitely needs new broadcast consoles.
And I would submit correspondingly, John's been already good at and off on evaluating what it is that we want to buy. We're already putting a list together.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't expect any problems with delivery time, like 6 months or something to get something critical?
I don't think so, no.
Ken to the stack.
Okay, Ken, I think our Paul was ahead of you, but I got you.
Okay.
Bill? Bill, have you finished your... Okay. Our Paul?
Okay. This may be more of a New York kind of a problem with our original Alexander Graham Bell lines, but wherever you're putting it in, you have to get your... You know, you have to have a chain going to your transmitter at some point. And have you investigated this and... Are you certain that you've got the ability to get reliable, good lines from the new facility to your transmitter?
Ken, you're talking about... There are radio stations that were in this building that were using their broadcast lines. I don't think that's going to be a problem. We did ask that question. We asked about whether there was... the infrastructure to bring in additional T1 lines or whatever, and we were told there's massive open structure in that building. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Right. And just as an aside, we're fortunate enough to have line of sight to our tower from this building. And something that we could consider, but as John would describe, it's something we need to be very strategic about, and that's establishing a microwave that would allow us to have a direct connect, either as primary and or as a backup to our transmitter site.
Yep.